Bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum.
Yeah, I'm the host.
Boo-ba-da-boo-ba-da-boo.
Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Hello and welcome to the Total Nerdless Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm Reggie.
I'm Zane.
This week we have a pretty good show for y'all. We are doing favorite, or I guess top cosplays, top fantasy cosplays, in the sense that if you had an unlimited budget and unlimited people to do it with you, what cosplay would you do? Reggie, you're pretty into this, aren't you?
Yes, I cosplay a lot already. So when we decided to do this episode, I was like, I have a notebook with pages already filled out of my characters that I want to cosplay.
And you make a lot of your own costumes, correct?
I do. I only make my own costumes because I sew.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I try to, you know, avoid buying something if I can make it myself. So,
well, cosplay is something interesting to me. It's something I've never done before, and it's one of those things that, like, now the pandemic has taken away a bunch of stuff that I've really wanted to do for a while now. I've never been to like a Comic-Con or anything. And of course, now that we can't do any of that stuff, I really want to go to one, and I'm into comics all of a sudden. And, so that's been a bit frustrating, that, and I've really wanted to go to haunted houses since the pandemic started, which I didn't want to do before the pandemic. But Shane, have you ever, been to a con or cosplayed before?
I have hit up a lot of the local cons around here. I love them. They're uber fun. I love to buy the merch. I'm really into, like, the pins, the buttons that you can put on your satchel, which is how I've got mine. So I've been to a couple of one of them. I've worn my fandom on t-shirts. I've never cosplayed one of them, but I have cosplay dreams.
Nice.
And I don't want to do a cosplay until I can, like, do... until I could give it like what it deserves, the full costume.
I get that.
Also, for our listeners out there who don't know what cosplay is, we're talking about dressing up, basically.
Yeah, Halloween, but specifically, cosplay kind of gears towards more video game characters, comic book characters, superheroes, movies. You know, typically you are costuming as a character.
Dressing up as things we talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, basically.
So, Shane, what have you been nerding out on this week?
Well, this week I was uber excited because I hit up some Black Friday sales online for some comic books because I will read them digitally for me. They're a little easier to store that way. And so I got the first 5 volumes of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the first series, not this new series. Got them for uber cheap. As well as some other comics that I read, some Batman, I believe I got some good deals on. And I was trying to think, I feel like there was one other, but I think those were the main two I was shopping for because my Nightwing didn't have any sales. But, you know, when you get a whole volume for $1.99, that was really awesome.
Yeah, that's nice.
I am an idiot. I did not look at any of Comixology's Cyber Monday deals, and now I'm kicking myself.
Ouch.
I've been pretty out.
I did some shopping for Black Friday too online, but mine was video game shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff off of Amazon and GameStop. I took advantage of their Black Friday deals.
What else, Shane?
Very nice. Other than that, it's just been video games for me this week. I am still, you know, we played some Dead by Daylight, and I'm still all about some Animal Crossing because we had our Turkey Day event. I got all the Thanksgiving furniture, and that was really awesome. So now I'm gearing up for Christmas, and there's all new sorts of items in the store for Christmas that you can buy and go to other people's towns and buy. So that's going to be really fun.
Christmas, yay!
Yes, nice. And other than that, just, you know, writing. Oh, I finished my novel. That's what I did this week.
Oh, yay. No big deal. Just casually throw it out there.
Exactly. I finished it. I hit 65,300
words. 65,300
words.
Now,
yes.
When will you be doing a live reading of
words? Oh, gosh. That particular novel is going to rest for probably quite a few months.
Yeah, maybe our as a podcast, we can record the Audible version.
Yes, that would be really fun. But that was, I'm glad that challenge is over. I love doing that challenge because now I have a completed novel. Of course, it needs editing because that is just the beginning. It's the first draft. But I was really excited. I'm very happy with how it all came out.
Quick question. Can you win NaNoWriMo? Is it a contest or is it just a month for writing?
It's sort of a contest, but the main prize is that you have a novel. I'm excited about because I get half off of a writing program called Scrivener, and now that I actually have a good computer to use it on, I'm going to use that coupon and get the Scrivener program. It's just a really basic, cool writing tool that makes it a little easier, that will bring up characters for you if you put them in a list when you're typing, so you don't have to always type them out.
Nice.
Maybe next year I'll write my novella for NaNoWriMo.
I can try. Is there like a mini version?
Yeah. In April and July, you could partake in Camp NaNoWriMo, which is where you get to set your own word limit. It can be a short story, a novella, a novel. I started out, I was like, I'll make these books 30,000 when I was doing those, but I always turn them into novels anyway. So I just do it again, like when I practice. So this year I actually wrote two novels, one in April, one this month.
Dang.
Yeah, I might need to take part in National Short Story Writing Month.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. Can we do it together?
Let's do it.
Yeah, like I said, next April you can set your own word limit. You can make it a short story or however long you want.
All right. We're gonna do it. I'm gonna start thinking now.
I just have to learn how to plan things.
Yeah.
So Reggie, what have you been nerding out on this week?
Oh, you know, normal video game stuff, Dead by Daylight. We got, like I said, I did some Black Friday shopping. I also got a digital copy for the new Super Mario U World Deluxe something another.
Yes.
Like the new Mario game. It's really fun. It's weird because Peach is not a playable character, but Toadette is. And then when Toadette gets the mushroom, she turns into a Peach-looking person that's not Peach.
Does she?
Yeah, it's really weird. And apparently this has led to the belief that if Bowser was to get one of those, then there would be a Bowser-Peach thing. And you should look them up. They're really interesting. Also, you know, up to date on Discovery, which no spoilers, but this season has been really good. Same thing with Mandalorian. This season has been really good.
Mandalorian.
I mean, it's so good even my mom is watching it, you know.
Oh my goodness. Spoilers.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Do spoilers.
Can we at least say Baby Yoda's name?
No.
No?
You mean Baby Yoda? You can't drop a name in season 2, episode 5 of a character and expect it to stick.
Even if we tell them to skip ahead for 10 seconds.
All right, we're going to say it in 3, 2, 1. Grogu.
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 It's the cutest name ever.
It's precious. He's precious. I really die for Baby Yoda.
You're killing me that we can't talk about spoilers
right now. We can't do that to people. We only got caught up this week.
I feel like, okay, what's a date we can talk about The Mandalorian on the podcast?
When the season's done.
Season's done?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Maybe we'll do a mini-sode, because Shane, you're still not into Star Wars, right?
Correct, but I'm into Star Trek and catching up on Discovery.
Oh, Discovery's been so good.
I watched episode 5, so I think I only have, what, 2 more to catch up?
See, I love having things spoiled for me. I'm weird.
It's so good. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I have been doing a lot of research on, like, desk fish.
Yes. Oh, because you really want something living in our dead office. Yes.
Our office doesn't have windows, so we can't have, like, a plant or anything. So I thought, like, maybe getting a fish for my desk would bring some life into the office. So I've been reading about the different types of fish, and actually I've decided I want a jellyfish. You know,
yes,
it's only like $500 for the whole kit, fish, everything.
The one that's like incandescent or whatever the glow in the dark ones are.
Well, I think the most common ones are the moon pie or moon something jellyfish.
Are they just moon jellyfish?
They're super cute, though, but there are tons of them.
My my dad and his brother got into a jellyfish fight when they were little, living in Florida. Things boys do. You're also looking at, like, some type of, like, bios, like, self-contained,
like, oh, the ecosystem
or something?
Yeah, it's, like, this glass, and it's got some type of brine shrimp in it, and it has some algae producing stuff. All it needs is, it doesn't have like any openings, like it's completely sealed, but it's like a self-contained ecosphere. All it has to have is like incandescent light. But I also really want one of those for my desk too. So I've been looking at a bunch of things that I want. I've been window shopping this week. That's what I've been doing. Tom, what have you been doing?
Well, it happened.
What happened?
First of all, my birthday, I turned 30.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
So old.
But my wife, for my birthday, bought me a Switch.
I knew it was happening. I helped.
Yes.
Her and Reggie were in cahoots this whole time.
For so long. For weeks, we've been working on trying to get it.
And first of all, I want the purple and orange Joy-Cons ASAP. Those are beautiful. But
oh, and it's the Animal Crossing
one. The Animal Crossing edition.
So it's super cute. I know.
Better.
I'm sure it was the Animal Crossing one.
my car had other ideas when it came to where my money was going this month. New brakes. That was fun. So I haven't really been able to get any games for it yet, but Reggie, for my birthday, got me the online membership, which accesses all of the Super Nintendo games that are on the Switch. And I downloaded that and played Super Metroid all the way through.
That was quick.
Yeah, it was about 5 hours of gameplay, but for years, as a Metroid fan, I've heard Metroid fans saying, comparing basically every game that came out to Super Metroid, and I'd never gotten to play it before.
Now you have.
And I have to say, I get it. I get it, Metroid fans.
The hype was real.
The hype was real. You know, I will say that I still think a lot of Metroid fans, there's a lot of whining coming from them that they'll overlook a really good Metroid game because it's not Super Metroid, but like I said, I get it. It was fun. The controls took me a minute to figure out just because they were a little bit clunkier than most side-scrolling Metroid games I've played. But a story mode without any words whatsoever, basically.
Yeah, the only way I've ever actually been able to play it was with a guide.
Yeah, oh my goodness. If I had not, I feel bad for like ruining my first playthrough with guides, but if I hadn't used the internet, I was so upset at some points about where to go, how much backtracking I had to do.
It's like the original Zelda. If you don't have a guide, it's just almost impossible to do.
But I got a terrible completion percentage my first time through. It was like 59%. So
Better go back and get all that stuff.
I will not.
That's why you can go back
through. So I will try and get the 100% without any guides. But there were some times in that game where I was like, there are some angry children in the 90s.
Yeah,
there were probably kids I feel like kids probably threw away their Super Nintendo playing that game the first time through. And that was back when we had to use these things called strategy guides, which you would find at the game store, or you would have to wait for like a Nintendo Power or Game Informer to come out.
The Disney Adventure magazine also sometimes had game guides in it.
Yeah, like a game guide was like the only way to get through, and then Cheat Code Central happened.
Cheat codes. My mom used to print them off at her work when I was in high school. Like I would literally tell her, I would call her and be like, Mom, you're going to have to look up this game. And I'd be like, Google, PS2. And she would print it and bring it up. And it'd be, you know, a quarter of an inch to an inch thick of paper.
Oh yeah. I had all of the Grand Theft Auto cheats printed out in a stapled Staples.
And I had folders for them. Like, my mom always helped me keep it organized. So I had different folders for them, and I would label which games they were, like my Resident Evil cheats and strategy guides. I was organized.
Did y'all ever have Game Sharks?
I had a Game Shark for the regular Nintendo. A Game Genie is what it was called for the regular Nintendo.
What about you, Shane?
I can proudly say I never used cheats when I was younger. I totally do today, but when I was younger, it just wasn't a thing. I either played it until I got tired of it, or played it until I beat it, or I got someone to help me and get around it.
Or played it until you never played it again, like the Rocketeer Super Nintendo game.
Oh, okay, but with that, when we were younger, do you remember like all of those super secret special ways to get to the end, like Super Mario 2? You know, mm-hmm. Like, get in the first level, you can use the potions
warp zones.
And go through the warp zones. Where mm-hmm. did you learn those from? Or did we just, like, were we born with that knowledge? And, like, in Super Mario World 3, like, in the first world where you can get the warp whistles? Mm-hmm. Like, who taught us that? I don't remember.
I think, like, I know with me, my experience was, especially with the warp zones were accidentally found with my experience. The other things, like for, especially in Mario 2, but for Mario 3, I remember we would play that with my father's brother, so my uncle, and he somehow had all this knowledge, so that's where I learned it.
I think it was always an uncle or a cousin.
It was always like your cousin who was in college.
Yeah, it was always now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was like always the older, like the high school age neighborhood kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bad kid.
Bad kid.
His parents let him have video games too young.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cell phones, so we just spent hours on video games.
Yeah, exactly. Just different stuff. Well, sounds like we had a good week.
Yeah. So before we move on, did I do the tagline?
Oh, I don't think so.
I am so out of it. I have been doing nothing but doom scrolling election law Twitter over the last couple weeks.
Well, and we're also doing this. This is a special episode because we are, one, recording in my lovely bedroom, and Shane is remote today.
I am.
threw us off a bit, but just in case you haven't heard our tagline before, this is the Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds.
Thank you.
So, should I start with my list, or should we do our new segment?
No, let's start with your list.
Okay.
Yeah, with your list.
New segment coming shortly. So, mine, you know, I didn't really have too much emotional attachment to any of these because I've never really, I feel like a lot of the characters I'm super emotionally attached to, I've never really would be too simple in this case, you know, like, you know, Daryl from Walking Dead, just need a vest for that and a crossbow, basically. So I tried to go with ones that would be like hard to do, since we're going with an unlimited budget, but also with some nostalgia to them. Let's see. So number five, Death from East of West. That kind of I've told
that
you about
comic
that comic before.
Reading, yeah.
You have, yes.
He's one of the four horsemen in the apocalypse, and in the comic book, the form he takes is as this solid white cowboy. He's got like a skull for a bolo tie, but his suit is white from head to toe. His skin is pale white. So it's just like this solid white figure, super intimidating, super tall and skinny. So I fit that, beanpole look, but, that's just a cool one for me because he's pretty BA in that arc. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's a really good comic book. I don't want to go into too much about it. I've talked about it before, but the character of Death in that was every time the four horsemen of the apocalypse come and die, they're reincarnated again, and in their previous life, the Death in his form fell in love with the leaders of one of the nations in the book, and they had a child together, and something about him falling in love made it so when, I guess, the rest of them died or something, he wasn't reincarnated. So the rest of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse are children while he's still in his previous life form because of something with falling in love. So I think that's just a really, really cool way to think about like that, you know, topic of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Number four, let's see. Darth Vader with the Valeth cape from Darth Vader number 18. This is very specific, but there is a Darth Vader comic that I just read since the pandemic started. And the plot of the comic is Grand Moff Tarkin, the one who was blown up in the Death Star, owed Darth Vader a favor. And that favor that Vader cashed in was that Grand Moff Tarkin was to hunt Vader. So like Vader just like went down onto a planet and like Grand Moff Tarkin assembled this like all-star team and their whole goal was just to hunt Darth Vader. But it starts out with Darth Vader and there's this epic picture that we'll probably post on social media if we're not going to get sued for it. But it basically starts out with Darth Vader standing on this rock wearing like a pterodactyl cape. And the technical name for the creature is the Valeth, but I guess it's a creature that's capable of invisibility. So he killed it and was basically using it as an invisibility cloak. But it's basically what I would dress up as is Darth Vader with a pterodactyl cape because it just is one of the most epic things I've ever seen. Obviously, since we're talking about unlimited budget, a Darth Vader outfit would be pretty expensive to put together. And then being a dinosaur cloak would also be pretty rough. Oh gosh, you have
to engineer dinosaurs, raise it, kill it, skin it to
or
get it.
Just like kill a Gila monster or something.
A Gila monster.
But yeah, that one is on there for epic reasons. Let's see. Number three, another Star Wars one. I'm sorry, Shane, but the Ahsoka armor clone troopers from the final season. Have you seen that yet, Reggie?
No, but we're about to start it.
Okay, spoilers. This one's been out for a while.
Don't spoil it because I'm about to watch it. All right, go ahead and say it. I plug my ears.
Okay, so basically in Ahsoka comes back for a mission and the clone troopers she serves under paint their armor in her colors. And literally, it's the last episode before Order 66 happens. I'm not going to spoil any more for Reggie. But basically, if you've watched Clone Wars, the whole thing was between the clones programming and them being actual people. And it's obvious as actual people that they love Ahsoka because they paint their armor in her honor. And then anyone who's watched Star Wars knows that the next logical step is Order 66, which was the order where the clones were ordered to kill their Jedi leaders.
We all know what it was.
without being able to control that impulse. So it's a very touching moment, especially heart-wrenching with what comes afterwards. Number two, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, specifically me being the Red Ranger, Reggie being the Pink.
Yes.
Shane, which one would you be?
Well, I kind of like the red one too.
You can be the Red Ranger. I'll be blue.
I could also be a different one as well.
Actually, I would be black because I like the Black Ranger because he's the Mastodon. Mastodon is one of my favorite bands, so that's another reason. But what were you going to say?
I would be the blue one.
Blue one? Okay.
Unless we were specifically doing something that I'll talk about online.
Specifically not just the Power Rangers as a group, and this one would be hard because, you know, obviously I have a morph suit Power Rangers outfit that I recorded a thank you video in. But also just like having the legit helmets mm-hmm. would be really expensive. But also the specific reason I chose this one is because I would want a group cosplay of all the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with the Power Blaster.
Oh, so and weapons too.
We would all have our, like, I want legit weapons because I want the Red Ranger's sword anyway, but like the legit weapons and they all combine into the coolest like crossbow sword gun that only like that was designed specifically for 90s children, but that's one thing I want to do. It'd be hard because obviously the costumes and the swords and weapons would be expensive, but also just finding five people to put that kind of money into a cosplay would be.
Honestly, it seems like a lot of the people who do cosplays have some kind of website that they put wish lists on that their fans like either donate money to, or they just like straight out buy the stuff that they want. There's two
really
people that I follow on Instagram, and they always are doing those types of patron.
And I mean, they do it in exchange for basically taking pictures in it. And
mm-hmm. Taking pictures in it, promoting their business, you know, shamelessly dropping plugs, Willow Mountain Woodworking, Willow Mountain, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, number one, Shane, this one
yes.
is for you.
Okay.
Frieza Saga Vegeta.
Ooh.
This is
why that saga.
Well, first of all, it's one of my favorite Vegeta looks for some reason. It's one of the first ones where you see the like sleeveless Saiyan armor, or battle armor. And apparently I guess it was an old version of the armor, but I thought it looked cool compared to all the other Saiyan armor you see in the show. But specifically the battle damage one, because there's a part where he makes Krillin, not Christian, shoot him in the stomach, and then have Dende heal him, because every time the Saiyans almost die, they come back stronger. And then he has a hole through around his heart because Frieza shoots him with the death beam while he's talking to Goku. But the main reason I like that Vegeta is because I'd say that was Vegeta at his most vulnerable, or like the first time Vegeta ever showed any vulnerability whatsoever. Shane, I know you're a big Vegeta fan, but you know, he's arrogant, egotistical, and then Goku is fighting a being that destroyed their home planet, the Saiyans, destroyed planet Vegeta. And so all his life he's been driven by his pride and everything, and would never accept Goku as being stronger than him. And then literally he's been like beaten to within an inch of his life fighting his mortal enemy. And
he was his mortal enemy.
Frieza. He basically was, I won't say enslaved, but had to work under Frieza his whole life, because Frieza is like a galactic dictator, basically, who runs a corporation where he sends people to planets, they depopulate the planet, and then he sells the planet to another race. So like there's this whole like, I guess, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy type industry going on. But he destroyed Vegeta's home planet, basically made Vegeta kill for him for decades. And then Vegeta finally stands up to him and gets beaten within an inch of his life. And then Goku comes to save the day, basically. And he basically, with his like dying breaths, pleads with Goku to beat Frieza and avenge their race and all this stuff. And it's heart-wrenching.
There's a lot of, I need you to...
pretty much.
I do anime voices very well. Thank you. Anybody out there writes an anime and needs some voice acting, you know, give me a call.
Yeah, that's any thoughts on that, Shane?
I think that's a great choice. Frieza's not always my favorite, so his saga, I just kind of roll my eyes because I know everyone loves Frieza. I'm much more of a Cell guy myself, but that is really, really cool.
Cell was a better villain, but I have to say I like I like the Frieza saga in general better, except for the fact that Frieza says, like, in one part, the planet's about to explode, and he says, you've got 5 minutes, and then, like, 4 hours of episodes go by in 5 minutes. It was the longest saga I've probably ever watched just because of that, but, you know, good old filler and all that stuff in anime. Well,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So...
I think it's time for our new
one. So doing these lists, I feel like on our group chat that we have for the podcast, we always end up coming back to ones we should have done on previous lists. So we're introducing a every now and then block called We Forgot, where we throw out some of the ones that we, you know, probably should have recorded, put on a list or on an honorable mention, and left it off, or ones that maybe we've found newly since we've done a list. So, Shane, do you want to start?
I will, because mine are very short. I didn't have so much like forgots on my other list that I could think of. I was trying to think of this list, which is probably really ironic. So I'm sure I'll think of some after this episode. But the one thing I really wanted to do was actually correct myself, because I forgot Shaggy Rogers' real name from Scooby-Doo. And as much of a Scooby-Doo fan as I am, I deserve like 30 lashes for that, if not more. So I wanted to say that I forgot that his name is not Norbert Rogers or whatever I said before, which sounded something very similar to that, but it's actually Norville.
Norville.
Yes, which is, you know, not any better name-wise, but I had to correct that.
Any others?
I honestly think that's it. I've been fairly happy with my lists. I'm just, like I said, I'm sure I've mentioned stuff before, or I will again afterwards, and who knows, maybe next time I'll have something more.
Well, you want me to do mine next, Reggie? Mm-hmm. Well, I, okay, so this one is from the Deaths episode. Two new ones. I'm sure we all want to get back into those feelings again, but this one is technically a real person, even though I'm including it because it was part of a work of literature. But Maury from Tuesdays with Maury, it's a book about a by Mitch Albom, where he basically reconnects with one of his favorite professors from college as his professor is dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. And so it's basically an exploration of feelings on death from a person who's dying. I had to read it as part of my sociology of death and dying class that I took in college. But his final death in that is heart-wrenching in the way that it's portrayed after all of the things that go on in the story, and just the way Maury looks at death throughout it. That one always got me. And then an obviously recent one, the Metroid Hatchling from Super Metroid. Might be one of the most upsetting deaths. There are like zero lines in it. There's like no dialogue in this game. But basically there's a Metroid after Samus. Is in Metroid 2, Samus, the whole thing is killing all of the Metroids. And one hatches at the end and follows Samus around, imprints on her as her mother, like a baby duck. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of Super Metroid is Ridley stole that Metroid, and you're looking for it. You find it at the end of the game. It starts to kill you and then recognizes you as its mom. And then while you're fighting the final boss, Mother Brain, you get hit by this unstoppable beam attack that like knocks you out, and the Metroid ends up coming down and blocking the next shot that would kill you, gives you the hyper beam, and then dies. So it's a character with zero words. There's zero words spoken to it. It sacrifices itself to you for you, and I was crushed by its death.
Oh, that's terrible.
I had a hard time with this because I keep forgetting the ones that I forgot, because I forgot them to begin with.
Oh, so why the name? We forgot?
We forgot. But I know, like, Tom was saying, BD1.
BD1.
For robots, I definitely, if I would have known about that robot, he would have gone on my list.
It's so toot.
It's a toot. And honestly, I can't remember any of my other ones, so I'll have to like do a post if I can remember them. I didn't write anything down for some stupid reason.
I just thought of one though. The Shane, have you read any of Shattered Grid?
I have not yet.
The alternate universe Zordon passing away in one part.
Mm-hmm.
And oh no!
Honestly, also, I don't want to ruin it for Shane either if I say this one. So I won't say this. Never mind.
But Zordon passes away while basically saying, like, don't lose faith in the goodness of other people. And that's a whole theme of the Shattered Grid arc. Definitely recommend that one. You've heard us talk about it numerous times.
Yep.
Go check it out.
Very good.
Okay, well, I'm sure we will do some version of We Forgot or Corrections Corner as they come up. if you have any corrections, obviously send them to us. We love hearing from our fans. Send us your lists. Send us corrections.
That's what you want us to send us your future.
Your adulation.
Praises.
Money. but yeah, that's a good start to our block. So who's up next?
I'll go next.
Go for it.
So cosplaying is something that I have actually been doing for a long time. I think the first person that I ever cosplayed would be Robin from the Cartoon Teen Titans show.
Nice.
And my friends in high school all handmade our own costumes and went and saw the first Batman movie with, what's his face? American Psycho.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale. The first of those movies, we went and saw that in theater when it first came out dressed up. We ended up getting free tickets into the movie and a free popcorn because they liked our costume so much.
Wow.
The four of us just, you know, stood in line for opening night in full costume while everybody else pointed and laughed. And now look at the world and how much cosplay is and everybody was doing it.
Uh-huh. So I've been
doing this for a really long time. And so my list is a little bit more specific. I really love the concept of gender bending and taking a predominantly female character or not predominantly, but taking a female character and portraying it as a male. So for my first on my list, I really want to do a Prince Peach. His name is Prince Peacher. I don't know why, but that's what the internet says his name is. But I specifically want to do like, British royal prince, but Peach, and like in the video game Super Princess Peach, her weapon was her umbrella, Perry.
So yeah,
of Perry as an umbrella, but as a walking cane that unsheathes as a sword, and have like medals. You know how princes will have medals on their chest, have like the different medals that say like Super Mario World 1, Super Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Like Prince Peach survived the battle of
ones
and make actual like medals and stuff. So I don't want to do like I want to do a realistic Prince Peach if I had unlimited funds to do it.
Would you be blonde?
Yeah. I'd dye my hair blonde. Heck yeah. One thing that I wouldn't do is shave my face. I shaved my face for the spelling bee and I have to say I look like a turtle when I'm shaved. So
he didn't, but whatever.
Next on my list, this is not going to be a shock for anyone, but a boy Poison Ivy, a male Poison Ivy.
Yes.
I love Poison Ivy. I have her tattooed on my thigh. That's how much I love Poison
Ivy. And above your desk.
And I've got several statues everywhere, and I'm a big Poison Ivy fan.
We're actually recording this from his shrine to Poison Ivy
that
he built in his closet.
You know, the flowers that Uma Thurma has in the movie? That's what we're sitting
in. Is that
Poison Ivy?
Yeah.
I haven't seen many of the old Batmans or anything.
I will smack you.
You should do that.
but yeah, I want to do a male Poison Ivy. And I also think, have you guys seen the Harley Quinn cartoon show?
Not yet.
No.
It is amazing.
Is it like the WB animation?
No. Yeah, it's like the WB animation, but it is an adult cartoon, full-on cussing, very explicit show that is amazing, but I would really like to do that Poison Ivy as a boy. And then of course the classic Batman the Animated Series, normal, not normal skin, you know, white skinned Poison Ivy instead of green skinned Poison Ivy. So the next one on my list is a character from a comic book series called The Pride. It is a LGBT specific comic book. The entire suit, it's about a team of superheroes. It's a parallel to the Justice League.
Okay.
So, okay.
What's it called again?
It's called The Pride. By Joe, I want to say Huffman, Joe something. He's a British guy. I really, really loved this comic. It was amazing. Great storylines. They really touch on some like really tough topics, especially in the LGBT community, discrimination, even within ourselves. You know, it talks about AIDS, it talks about abuse, it talks about a lot of the things, but the leader of them is this super, super flamboyantly gay, fab man. And he wears a super cute pink jumper with his cape like Superman wears, except it's rainbow. And he has a big F on his chest for Fab Man. It's actually the cosplay that I've been currently working on. So I have a lot of the components for this already done. But yeah, he's on my list. The hard part is the cape with the rainbow. That's the only problem that I've run into some issues, so I'm trying to figure out the best way of doing that.
And it's on Comixology Unlimited, and I'm downloading it as we speak.
It's fantastic. So that's the first season. There's a second season that has come out since.
It was specifically, it's a Comixology original, so it's like Comixology as a production company. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check it out too.
So the next one on my list, which Tom had mentioned wanting to do, would be full on Power Rangers.
Yes.
But specifically, number two would be, originally it was a gender bent Kimberly Pink Ranger, but in the comics we actually discovered that the first Pink Ranger was a guy. In the 60s there was a team of Rangers that was needed, and they were led by Grace something, and she was the Red Ranger. But yeah, the Pink Ranger in that time was a boy. So I think it would be really cool to specifically do that one. Unfortunately, that whole team is very short-lived, as they all die on the moon.
They don't all die. A few of them die, but they're called into service for basically one battle. And then Zordon, being who he is like, well, you eliminated the threat, so you're no longer needed. But it's like one of Zordon's biggest regrets.
Yeah.
And it
kind Grace of comes back to bite us in the butt a bunch. Let's just say that.
And
it gets used as kind of like, cause you know, in the show, the Power Rangers always just like unquestionably trust Zordon, and it gets used as like a plot device for like, do we even trust Zordon? Like, he just kind of gave us these powers. Like, could he take him away? Could he throw us out there into danger? Cause basically he put a bunch of inexperienced Rangers out there to save the world, and
they had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah. And but it was a very good one. You know, would you do a gender bent Ranger Slayer?
Yeah. Yes, 100%, hands down. If I had unlimited helmet, bow, everything, I love the Ranger Slayer. I love her storyline. I love her story arc. I love
her haircut.
Yeah, I love her haircut. I just badass Kimberly though. You know?
Oh yeah.
And so, which this is still in the same subject, but my number one would be doing a full blue Ranger cosplay. Boots, yes. Gloves, helmet, the power lance, the gun, the belt, the morpher, the communicator to wear when I'm wearing my blue normal day clothes at the beginning of the con, and then after lunch change into my super change into the full on Blue Ranger. And like Tom said, do it in a group with, my husband would most definitely volunteer to be the White Ranger or the Green Ranger for us. I'm certain.
And he has the hair.
Yeah. He has Tommy's hair. So. But yeah, like I said, cosplay is something that I have been doing for a really long time. And in fact, in my notebook, I have an entire section dedicated to cosplay.
Oh, that's great.
So some honorable mentions. Chris Redfield, which I've actually already done. Steven Universe, I've also already done. I think it would be fun to do a Dipper Pines, a Gender Bent Little Mermaid, Kid Icarus, Doctor Who, The Witcher, a Gender Bent Star Butterfly, do a perfected Robin costume, and ask Ketsa. I already did a Riddler as well, and a Two-Face. Pretty much anybody from Kingdom Hearts, anybody from Star Trek, anybody from Star Wars, Danny Phantom, Timmy Turner, Gender Bent Catwoman, one of the gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Link.
Goliath.
A Gender Bent Powerpuff Girls, and or doing one of the Rowdy Rough Boys.
Rowdy Rough Boys would be cool.
I think that would be fun.
Snips and Snails and Puppy Dog Tales.
Snips, Snails and Puppy Dog Tales. Bob's Burgers, doing a group Bob's Burgers. And then, as always, every year we go to the Ren Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Except for this year, obviously, because it's not happening. And I like to make my costumes. And Corey has a full-on costume. But with our new child, he's super into art, and so he's helping me bring my Dungeons, my D&D character to life, and
life.
That into an actual costume.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so a really cool, if I had unlimited funds, of course, I'd make it as badass as I could, but my Dungeons & Dragons character to do at the Ren Fair. So a lot for me.
I like it, and you're still making that cloak for me, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got, actually, I was just working on some cloaks earlier this week.
Yay!
So what do we want to do next? Shane, do you have your list, or do we have another block or trivia?
I think Shane had a block for us, didn't you, buddy?
I do, yes. I have a very interesting one that I don't necessarily agree with, but I think it'll be fun, so... Which Mighty Morphin Power Ranger are you based on your zodiac sign? And what I thought I would do for this list is I don't mind to read them all, but I'll go in depth about the three of our signs.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And this list comes from comic book resources. So all you got to do is like Google which Power Ranger are you based on zodiac sign. And it's like the first thing that pops up. So what are your guys' zodiac signs?
I think I'm Sagittarius.
I'm a Cancer.
I'm a Sag.
You're what?
I'm a Cancer.
And Cancer?
The crab thing.
The crab.
And I'm the Minotaur.
And what are you,
not
Shane?
The Minotaur, the Centaur.
I am a Capricorn.
Capricorn.
Let me make
and
sure.
Do what?
So let me make sure I'm a Sagittarius. You keep going, Shane.
Yes. Well, I can also, while you're checking, I will say that like I've read the list. I don't agree with it in many ways, especially mine, but whatever. It's fine. The Power Rangers, before we start, I'll go into it. The Power Rangers on the list are the original five, Tommy and Kat, and the three other replacements for Jason, Trini, Zach, Rita, and Lord Zedd.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Adam, Rocky, and Aisha, and Kat.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, they're on the list as well.
If I get Kat, I'm going to burn the house down. I'm not a Kat fan. I got to go ahead and say that.
I love cats.
I love cats. Catherine. All right, what's mine? I'm a Cancer.
You're a Cancer? Okay, so first, since Noah's an Aries, Aries is Rocky.
Okay.
Taurus.
As long as I'm not Rocky.
Taurus is Lord Zedd.
Taurus is Lord Zedd, okay.
Uh-huh. Gemini is Tommy.
Gemini is Tommy? Is that you?
Yeah. Probably because, he was good and evil.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
There we go. And who? Was someone Cancer?
I am Cancer.
Oh, Reggie.
I'm Kat.
Yes.
No!
Why? What does right. It say? I'm mad about it. No.
I know. I was like, Reggie's going to destroy the podcast when I saw that. All right. Cancers might be symbolized by a crab, but they're incredibly sensitive individuals. They feel deeply and for everyone. Though Kat's journey on the series began as a victim of Rita Repulsa's brainwashing, she becomes one of the most empathetic Power Rangers. Incredibly focused on the feelings of her friends, she puts everyone else first. She even helps Tommy through his breakup with Kimberly despite her own feelings for him.
Boo. I also don't appreciate how Power Rangers just had Kimberly like John Deere letter Tommy. I mean, I agree with the description of a cancer, but I don't agree with why. Also, I'm a victim.
Yeah, so see, I don't agree with mine either, and we'll read that when we get there. If you're Leo, you're Zach. If you are Virgo, you're Trini.
Boygo.
If you're Libra, you're Jason. Scorpio is at Aisha.
Am I Rita?
Not Scorpina.
I'm not Rita, am I?
All right, you're Sagittarius, Tom?
Yes.
All right, Sagittarius is Billy.
Okay, I am okay with that.
Boo.
Much like a Scorpio, a Sagittarius is another sign that loves to search for answers. Billy is always striving for more knowledge and to understand how the universe works. His inventions and theories tend to be the team's saving grace. Sagittarians also tend to push themselves outside of their comfort zone, something Billy does when he learns how to fight and when he travels to the alien planet of Aquitar.
Ooh. Speaking of learning to fight, do you guys, when Billy finds Draken in the Shattered Grid?
Oh, yeah.
I was so shooketh and shaken when Draken looks at Billy and is like, oh, you've bulked up since the last time we've met. Did I scare you?
No.
So uncomfortable right now.
Totally fine being Billy. I was just really afraid that I was about to be Rita.
I'm jealous.
All right. Mine is next. Capricorn is Adam. Capricorns are often known to be the most ambitious of the zodiac signs. True. And Adam actually exemplifies this trait that aids in that ambition. He is one of the hardest workers in the series. I don't recall this, but whatever. It's fine.
He didn't work so hard.
While all the Power Rangers seem to keep themselves busy between school, after school, clubs, and saving the world, Adam also finds time to teach and support his friends. He never misses Tanya's baseball games, and he coaches soccer after passing the torch to a new generation of Power Rangers.
He's also the frog.
Yeah.
He is!
I'm the frog.
Yes, of course, when you kiss.
That would actually really be my luck if I was a Power Ranger. I'd get a lame animal like probably the slug. Whatever.
Slugzord!
All right, so finally, the last two. If you're an Aquarius, you are Rita Repulsa. And the best one, apparently, Pisces or Kimberly.
Gotta read the Pisces. Like, what makes Kimberly?
The dreamiest of signs, Pisces have their heads in the clouds as much as they do their shoulders. Kimberly dreams big, too. She wants to follow her dreams and becomes an elite gymnast, but also wants to make sure the world is safe. Pisces are also creative souls, shown in Kimberly's songwriting and passionate romantics. She's the first Power Ranger to have a long-term romance, even if she does end up breaking Tommy's heart.
Whatever. Also, she had a lot going on with her and her family. Have you guys read the story arc of what happens to Kimberly when she leaves the team?
Well, first of all, she asked for more money from the producers. The producers say no. And then they think of reasons to write them off. What happened though?
Oh, she has to form her own team of Power Rangers. So if you notice in the show, all of the other Rangers exchange power coins when they trade power mm-hmm. to a new person. Kimberly doesn't.
Huh.
Kimberly, or no, it's not that. It's putting your hand on the sword or something about, you have to do something to transfer power. And Kimberly didn't do that when she left. So she still technically had access to the morphing grid, and unbeknownst to everybody, Zordon sent her with an emergency kit. And of course an emergency happens and she has to form her own group of Power Rangers, which is actually where my Blue Ranger cosplay that I have is the Blue Pink Ranger, because she has to make a team using the power of pink.
Yeah.
To imbue all of them. So it's the red pink ranger, the blue pink ranger, the yellow pink. Really, yes. Really.
So does that mean there's two pink ranger power coins since the cat was also the pink ranger?
It might be, which could explain why Cat was so weak.
I just want to know what kind of person you have to be for Rita Repulsa to be your zodiac sign.
What does it say about Rita? What makes them Rita?
Like, all I think about is like, you're ridiculously evil, and also you fail a bunch.
I mean, I thought Aries should be Rita, but whatever. So this one says Aquarius is Rita. For another name for Aquarius might be independent thinker. They like to march to the beat of their own drum. Rita Repulsa certainly likes to do things her way. She has a system for when she uses her magic and takes over planets. Rita doesn't always do things the way every other villain would, and she's pretty proud of that. She also gets a little more creative with her monsters than Lord Zedd, dreaming up all kinds of twisted nightmares.
Is her system just yelling at Finster and then, yep, like, haphazardly making the monster grow after it's been defeated?
Yep.
Yes.
That seems like all of the bad guys.
Okay. Well,
I guess that was a bust. I disagree.
I disagree as well.
I don't know. I like being Billy, being told how smart I am. I don't think Billy was ADHD in the show, but I could use the word morphonomical in my daily vocabulary a lot more.
Speaking of which, didn't you challenge Shane to use a word in his writing? And Shane, didn't you use that word?
Yes.
I did.
The word was sultry.
I did.
Nice.
Now I want you to use sultry and velour in the same.
I don't know about that one, but if you would like, for the next episode, I can totally like pull up the paragraph that I used sultry in.
Yeah. Give us a reading.
He wore a cloak of sultry velour. Okay, so are we on to Shane's list?
Yeah, final list.
Yes, all right. So my list starts out with a Shane Lee original. I chose one of the characters that I've created for a story that I have written, and it's actually on Wattpad. People can find me there under the name Kadanian. But it's called, the story is called Grey Knox Slayer, or I think it might be called Slayer Grey Knox. I confuse my title sometimes. It's been a while since I've worked on it. But the first quote-unquote season, as I like to call it, because I like to view it as a TV show or maybe even an anime, is completed and it's out there. So if you want to read it, you totally can. But the character I would choose to cosplay from that, his name is the main character. His name is Grey Knox. And Grey Knox is a vampire slayer. He is a
Buffy?
Similar, kind of. It's more in the vein that he's probably more similar to like heroes like Batman and Robin to a degree, because he goes out into the night. The vampires in this world, you know, are only awake during the night for the most part, I believe, if I remember my own story correctly. But Grey Knox wears pretty much all black. He has black knee-high boots, a long gothic trench coat that his one-time love interest made for him, and has a purple border that he can hold all of his weapons in. And his weapons are mainly stakes, but he has a few other things that can help him out. And he uses wooden stakes and metal stakes, interestingly enough. And he also wears, you know, fitted clothes aside from his trench coat, so he can swing through the night and the vampires have more issue with linking on to him.
Nice. What else? Or were you going to keep talking about that?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's next?
All right, my next one would be Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows, and I am talking the original series, not the Johnny Depp movie that tried to turn the series into a comedy. I love that series. Barnabas is always one of my favorite heroes. He's very classic. He has like a cape-like shawl thing. It's not a cape in the traditional sense, but he has the wolf head cane and the circle black ring that he wears on his middle finger on his hand that he walks with the cane, and he's a vampire. I've always wanted to be him, but I want to do him right, so that'll probably take me some time to get all those costume pieces, because it's from the 60s, and Barnabas was a very chic vampire. You know, he doesn't look like Dracula by any means. He wears like a business suit, so I'm excited for that.
Well, you're in luck, because we have nothing but time until we can do this again.
And I don't know if you know this, but I have a lot of patterns.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. I might send you a picture. Next on my list like you guys, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, I put down the Red Ranger. I want to do it in a group. I want to do it right with real helmet, the costumes that are similar to theirs. But also in a group, I would totally be another Ranger. I'm also a huge fan of Zeo Rangers, and I would totally be the Blue Ranger in that.
I like the Zeo Ranger outfit, even though it's not Billy. But mm-hmm. the only thing that bothers me about the Zeo are the little lips on the helmet. For no reason. I don't know why, but just the lips on the helmets.
Not the best. But yeah, I'm right there with you guys. Want to do it? Let's do it. It'll be awesome.
Blinged out Power Rangers.
If anybody wants to sponsor us to be Power Rangers,
hit us up. Email us.
Sponsor us to do this podcast in general. That'd be very excellent.
That too. So next on my list, Gray Fullbuster from Fairy Tail. Fairy Tail's like one of my favorite animes. I have completed the entire series. And Gray was always my favorite character. So he's an ice wizard, which is very ironic because I hate winter. So I hated this past, Monday or Tuesday? We went outside and it was snowy here. But
yeah, what's the girl's name with the keys in Fairy Tail?
Lucy. Lucy Heartfilia.
Lucy here. She's my favorite.
Oh, who are the keys?
I don't know. I always like Gray, except for his whole little stripping thing because I'm not that friendly with the cold. But Tommy, ask about the kittens. I have the name on top of my tongue, but Happy and Carla.
Is Carla the white one?
She is.
Oh, she's so toot.
They are toot show.
Yes, I love it. It goes on. A lot of people complain because sometimes it has filler, but the filler in Fairy Tail for me has not been bad as the filler in Dragon Ball Z. So there's that.
There's filler in all animes. I mean, you got to have filler. That's why they're 500 episodes a season?
Oh, exactly.
If you were Gray, would you have this sweet tattoo?
I would have to.
That's their whole thing. Everybody in the Fairy Tale Guild has that tattoo.
Oh, somewhere. Man. That one would be pretty cool because it looks like you just need some cargo shorts with straps on it and tattoo.
Shane, are you cut like that guy is too?
I'm working on it. I'm as slender as he is. But I actually really he has a purple uniform he wears for the Grand Magic Games, and that's the one I would want to cosplay. His white one's not bad either, but that purple one is amazing. All right, and then I guess my number one choice is not going to be a surprise to anyone. He's the number one choice on one of my other lists, Nightwing. I want to go full-on Nightwing. Do it correct. I want, the hair to look similar. I don't care if it has to be a wig because right now I have really long curly hair.
Would you have a mullet? Would you do the mullet?
Ooh, I don't know about the mullet. I like shorter hair Nightwing better.
what about smoke balls and explosive boomerangs?
Eh.
Nightwing's thing isn't it the baton?
It's like a baton. I don't know what to call it other than the baton, but yeah, that's what I want, and I want it to come in half like his does.
Huh.
I want the two collars, the mask, the baton, everything. And he's just, he's my favorite hero, so of course he'd be my favorite thing that I want to cosplay.
Let's do it. Let's do a superhero cosplay group and a Power Rangers cosplay group.
Absolutely.
You can get the gadgets and the belts and all that stuff too for it.
Also, yes, it's a must. We have to do it because we have to do it right. So they have all that.
Also, I just looked up Gray's purple outfit and that looks pretty sweet.
Yes. That's the one I want. But so that is my list. My honorable mentions, I have a few. CL from Black Butler, which is another anime that I love. Ichabod Crane from Sleepy Hollow, the live action series that was on Fox a couple years ago.
Not the Disney one?
I love that.
Well, the Disney one is fantastic. I love watching that every Halloween. But the show, which was pretty good itself, had a bit of a different Ichabod Crane. And that's the one that I almost tried to be this year. I have the hair for it, but I could not get the pieces that would make me happy for that. I would also want to do Ryo from Jim and the Holograms. He has purple hair. I would totally do that. A true Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, which is probably a lot more easier. One of the most common things I could do, but he's still on my list. Iki from Air Gear. He's the main character of that show. And Zeke from Zombies Ate My Neighbors, which should also be another easy costume for me to cosplay at some point to get my hands on.
Like the video game?
Yeah.
Nice.
The guy from that. And, you know, if I let my hair grow out enough in the sun, it turns blonde. I also wanted to include Trunks from DBZ. I like Trunks in Dragon Ball Super, but Trunks in DBZ with that awesome, wonderful hair, that's where it's at. And he easily does away with Frieza.
And the tiny blue jacket and the sword.
Yep, absolutely.
Wait, which Trunks would you do? Would you do the one with the jacket or the one in the Saiyan armor?
The jacket. I like the jacket better.
No long-haired Trunks?
I want the long hair with it, too. Didn't he wear it with the long hair at some point?
I'm not sure. I remember he had long hair after the hyperbolic time chamber.
Mm-hmm. That's the Trunks look I want. So if it has to be in the suit, I'll do the suit. And my last two, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, but Ichip from Voyager.
Ichip.
I butchered that. Yeah.
Would you want to do like the young Voyager one or the adult in Picard?
Probably more of the adult in Picard, you know, before his fate befalls him. Yeah. Because, yeah, I love Seven of Nine. And, you know, I thought about being like a male version of Seven of Nine, but she's just too unique. So I would settle for that as opposed to also maybe a full-on Borg. Who knows?
That's cool.
And then finally, I wanted to include on my list another kind of original one. But there is a Super Shane out there that I'm told I look very similar to. I don't think so. So maybe one day I can cosplay as him.
Super Shane?
Yes.
Gotta look this up.
Well, that's a good list. I think it's very clear that we all need to be Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
First con back. Maybe we'll get to do a panel at one eventually. if people like listening to us that much. Well, thank you, Shane. I just realized I didn't do any of my honorable mentions. One of them, just any Star Wars character, specifically a Jedi or Sith, having a real lightsaber or one of those like super movie grade lightsabers would be sweet.
Uh-huh.
Anyone from Sons of Anarchy, mostly just because I want the Sam Crow vest that they wear for their motorcycle club. It'd be pretty easy. You would just need a beard and like a flannel shirt with a motorcycle vest. But
kind of,
yeah.
Like I said, that one wasn't included just because it's, I mean, it doesn't take too much resources and this was unlimited resources. This one would take quite a few resources though, but a gender bent Dr. Aphra from Star Wars and the two murder droids, BT and 000, would be a pretty fun one to do.
So if Aphra was gender bent, would they be female droids instead of male droids?
Didn't think about that. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if you're going to flip the script, flip it all.
But yeah, Dr. Aphra is a pretty cool character, has this really cool like robotic tattoo on her arm. And I'd get to wear a tiny shirt. Then Butcher from The Boys show, specifically, not the comic book. I don't really like the comic book Butcher, but he's the one in the show is basically just like a Hawaiian shirt with a trench coat and a beard and spiky hair. But I love the actor who plays Butcher. I love the way they did him in the show because I really didn't like him much in the comic books and think he's hilarious in the show. Samus. Not even Jinderbin, just having the full Samus,
just being Samus.
Bounty hunter
yes.
suit.
Would you be wearing the bikini underneath the Samus suit?
Only if you get 100% item collection.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, you'd only see from the neck up.
Mm.
Megatron or Optimus Prime? I've seen some pretty cool Transformers cosplays where you actually like transform,
yeah.
depending on like how you lay down. That would be pretty sweet. And then this one, Kaiba from the Duelist Kingdom arc of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Uh-huh.
Kaiba's a terrible character and terrible person, but I've always liked his trench coat game. He's had some pretty sweet trench coat looks. And that one, basically, you would need like green pants, green shirt, a trench coat, and a briefcase with a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards in it. But I always thought he looked cool, even though he was a jerk. You're PG-13. But yeah, those are mine. But you know, I'd say that this list was a lot of dreams and mostly just dreaming about the time where we could actually possibly even do these if we had the resources, because not a lot of cons happening at the moment, but hopefully that will be a thing in our near future and we'll get to do it as a podcast with our legion of adoring fans.
Yep. I also forgot something when I was talking to
what
is this weekend nerd. Also, I finished Dino Charge.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
I tell you guys, I finished Dino Charge and I have started Mystic Quest.
Mystic Force.
What's it called, Shane? Mystic Force?
I'm pretty sure it's Mystic Force.
Something. Yeah, I think that's what it is. But I'm like 8 episodes in.
You weren't liking it much, were you?
The film quality is a little rough. It's 2004. It looks like somebody needs to adjust the tracking on a VCR. Is what kind of happens. It's okay. It's okay. I just really like the concept of their magic being mystic, mermaid, fairy, you know, minotaur, stuff like that.
When the Mystic Force Snow Ranger?
Udana?
Udana. She plays a big part in the Battle for the Grid video game that you can get on Game Pass and play against me, where I will use the OP Red Ranger to destroy you.
But yeah, those were the things. Oh, and we watched I finally watched The Princess and the Frog, Disney movie. And it was amazing. I don't know why I hadn't seen it, no particular reason or anything, but our new kid, that's his favorite Disney, and so we watched that, and it was so good. I literally bawled at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, Disney, of course you will.
Well, there's a really, that's one of the tragic deaths I just remembered.
Reggie should have added this to his tragic deaths.
There's a Firefly character that is so country and so sweet and so helpful, and the villain literally steps on him and squishes him.
And it was like on every single list that I found when I was researching for the most tragic deaths episode.
But yeah, if you haven't watched Princess and the Frog, you should definitely go watch it. It was amazing. I know I'm a little late to that game, but
I'm late to that game because I still haven't seen it. Okay, y'all, that was a fun episode. As usual, we want to thank our fans. Thank you for listening to us. We are having a ton of fun doing this. And the fact that people are listening to us makes it even better. And we owe you a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. Keep listening and we'll keep making them.
I mean, even if you don't listen, maybe we'll just keep making them anyway.
Close to 500 downloads.
Ooh.
Super, super close to it. We're at like 480 right now.
Maybe we'll do like something special, like our first mini-sode or something when we hit 500. Who knows? You know, want to thank Jordy Marie Games. Go check her out. She has given us plenty of shout-outs on there. Plays a lot of different games.
Animal Crossing. Among Us, Dead by Daylight, which I've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight with her. My husband and kid play Among Us with her on her stream and her fans. Yeah, super cool. Jordy Marie Games, Facebook.
Also, someone we've mentioned on this podcast before, Mason Blevins, released a novel, correct, Shane?
Yes, 34 Degrees is out and available.
Do you have a general premise? I know it's kind of a post-apocalyptic.
Off the top of my head, no, but it is available on lulu.com. There are premise descriptions, pricing, everything you need to know about it on there. I highly suggest you check it out because I have read it and I don't want to give anything away. So it's great.
You can get it as a, not audio book, not yet. You can get it as a ebook. You can also get an actual copy. And isn't he signing the first few copies?
Yes. I believe the first 10 should be autographed, if I remember correctly. So if you act on that fast enough, you could get one that is autographed.
Yeah, check them
out. If they're not already gone.
Check them out. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing that he's putting himself out there with all this writing that he's doing. And so, you know, we want to support that in any way whatsoever. Another thing, catch up on As the Beanstalk Turns, the soap opera that Shane wrote masterfully that Reggie, I, and he have been in. And we just did our Thanksgiving episode, and we're doing a Christmas one, right?
We are. It is in the works. And, you know, maybe next podcast we'll have a date and time to tell people to tune in.
And then maybe a Boxing Day episode as well. catch up on that. It's on Facebook, right?
Yeah, all of the previous episodes that we've done, the entire, I guess we will call it first season.
Yeah.
And all of our holiday specials, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and the upcoming Christmas.
And it's super weird to think back to our first episodes of that, because that was like,
that was new. That was beginning of pandemic. Like, we're bored. We're out something to do.
I remember it was like right after quarantine was lifted, but there was still, I mean, we were like still in like phase one. But because I remember being out and doing things, but it was still when we really weren't allowed to do anything. And it's weird. It feels like it was like 30 years ago, but also it was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, anything else for the good of the order?
Nope, I think it's good.
Yep. Check us out online.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.